My name's Caitlin Griffin, and I'm one of the performers. I play the elderly woman in this show, and that's a masked character. In 2014, I came up with the original concept because I'm also a doctor. At the time, I wasn't working much as a doctor, but I had these experiences as an intern dealing with elderly patients who'd come into the hospital to die, basically, from nursing homes. And we measured them, we took their obs, we checked the time, and then they died, and we put it on a piece of paper, and they were gone, and we never knew anything about them. We didn't know anything about their lives. So I didn't consciously think I was going to make a show about that, but when I started working on this, that was what was coming through. The package is a piece of physical theatre. It combines physical theatre, puppetry, mask and animation, and tells the story of an elderly woman's journey. And it's about unpacking memories and celebrating life. And it has themes of institutionalization and memory and loss, love, grief, a bit of everything from life. It's wordless, it's told with gestures and movement and music and puppetry. Performing in mask it's a particular skill that I had to learn. I didn't know how to do it when I started. I just thought, wow, mask, that's so cool. I saw someone else do it. It was an elderly man, and when they took the mask off, it was a young woman who'd performed the part, and I would never have known, and I thought that was incredible. And I loved the idea that you completely transform into someone else, and people would never know it's me unless they know beforehand that I'm performing the role. And I really love that transformation. But yes, you have a mask on, you can't use any facial expression. So, for example, the other day I raised my eyebrows at the director and she said, okay, do that with your body now. And you have to learn, how do I convey this information with my body? And you can't convey lots of messages at once. If you're moving your hands and your face and your shoulders at the same time, you're giving a dozen messages, and it's hard for audiences to read. So you have to learn how to give one message at a time and have pauses and full stops and sentences and phrases. And it's really fun. I wanted a flying creature who brought messages to this elderly person, and I was in the museum in Brisbane and I saw a tawny frogmouth skeleton and I just fell in love with it. It was so aesthetically amazing and it looked really cute, and so I brought that back and I gave that to the person who was designing the original puppet, and they started working with that. But when we made it looked a little bit too much like a scary chicken, or it was a bit too comical, a bit too jerky and hoppy, and didn't quite have the characterization that we wanted. So then we had different puppet makers involved, and then Robbie took over the making of the puppets.
The bird was great. The bird was, I guess, quite a personal journey. Someone had made the head, and but it wasn't quite the right colour. It didn't have it was a little bit scary, and so I played a lot with finding things to make eyes with and eyelashes. I ended up using feathers for eyelashes, which worked quite well. And it's really quite endearing, that puppet. I guess the real... and then having its legs kind of land and take off. But I guess the really interesting stuff is the concertina nature of the wings. And I'd just sort of seen, I can't even remember what I'd seen, but I'd seen how you can make a lattice, you can fold a lattice work up. So I created lattice work with sticks and feathers. And we used quite a few eagle feathers, and because they're nice and strong. So I really just put the individual feathers on these sticks and, you know, and then that... And then developed a system where a puppeteer could actually grab hold and open the wings up and make the bird fly. My name's Robbie Hoad. I've been in the Territory now since 1990 and do a lot of different performing stuff. It's interesting being a performer in the Territory because you do everything and anything. I do a lot of tech, a lot of production stuff, but I also get work as a theatre actor. So Darwin Theatre Company, I used to do a lot of shows with the Darwin Theatre Company. I've been living in Alice for the last 7 years. I have a band back in Darwin. It's called Barry Brown and the Get Down. People might know it. But yeah, down here in Alice, I've done a lot less performing, and the package really was the first opportunity for me to get stuck right into some really deep theatre work. Yeah, so there's a scene where basically a young couple, well, they don't emerge as a couple, they come out individually, and they're very full of that joie de vivre, you know, but they're also full of hormones, and they're very very attracted to each other. So there's a lot of really interesting frisson on stage. When we wanted to explore this, that overwhelming, over-the-top, larger-than-life feeling of, you know, desire, that adolescent feeling. And the original production, we had large breasts and large genitals, but we decided to modify it for family audiences. So now we have flowers and bees. And I think it gets the message across. I think it still works. Look, generally the responses from audiences have been wonderful. We took this show to Adelaide Fringe, and Adelaide Fringe is a very competitive place to go, and we had great houses. We had over half houses, which is quite phenomenal. You know, you can go to a Fringe show and have less people in the audience than there are on stage. So we had these great houses, and we generally got a lot of very positive feedback, and people loved it, all ages too, which was wonderful. I think it paints a wonderful picture of the human journey without words. And I think that's captivating, you know, in a very wordy society or very wordy life. You know, most of the stuff we see on screen and on stage is very wordy. And I think there's something utterly captivating about just action and music. But I think people are able to really empathise with all of the with the characters. And I think they take the journey with the characters. And it's kind of magical too. There's a, you know, it's dream. Someone said tonight, it's dreamlike. And it is like being in a bit of a dream.
My name is Rosie Wild, and in this production, been part of it since the beginning with Caitlin and Robbie, and it's been co-devised, so it's been an absolute pleasure and a challenge and a work of wonder and dedication, and that we've all gone on this huge journey to unpack this story. And it's been a continual act of discovery, looking down and going, wow, there's more layers, there's more ways that each symbol that has been planted along the way can be woven through the story to become its own thread and make this tapestry that in the end makes sense. So been part of that, and also in the show itself, I'm a puppeteer and a physical performer, and we've all been part of creating the soundtrack as well. This show was originally created using tracks from world musicians to inspire the mood of each piece, but that is not an appropriate thing to do, to continue to use these other people's music in this original show, especially if we want to tour it. So it was the vision of this collective to have original music to express the voices of each of the characters. And thankfully we have really wonderful musicians here in Alice Springs. Three of the key ones have been Anders, Xavier and Joaquin. And together with us three, we worked on developing an entire soundtrack. And each of us would bring an idea, say a theme or a melody for a particular character. So say the bird, which I had a concept just for the melody. But then everyone worked together to create it into a richly textured piece of music. So that happened for each of the scenes that are in the show. And each seed of an idea was enriched by the whole group together. And we have, for example, the cello is the voice of the old woman, the banjo is the voice of the bird, the glockenspiel is the voice of one of the other characters. I don't want to give away all the characters. It creates something that each scene has its own emotional thematic, but also it's tied together with these instrumentations throughout. So the package has a scene that depicts a woman in labour, going into labour. And it really, our desire was to do justice to the intensity of that, but also the tenderness of it, and also to the struggle that a lot of women experience of wanting to own their labour and to give birth in the way that feels right in their own bodies, but having that superseded and interrupted by medical institutions, which is one of the themes of the show. And we developed that with the musicians and by developing the puppetry over time and refining the way that this puppet expresses that physically to try and convey all those elements, the intensity, the tenderness, the desire to defy the medical staff, but perhaps being overthrown by that, to create quite a rich and complex scene. And there's a lot. It's a physically intense scene, it's a vocally intense scene, but it does also show that, the tenderness of giving birth and the longing that a woman has to connect deeply with that experience. There are a lot of things that deeply interest me about this work. One is the collaborative way that it's been developed and the way that that means that everyone has to listen deeply to each other and also to the characters that emerge. So in a sense, we're listening to what is presented in front of us, like there's an old woman, and we all have to listen to what that particular character wants to express and have an integrity of that. So that process is really exciting. It's wonderful to create a dreamscape full of different and gently complex imagery that we have woven together, but we've also allowed space for audiences to bring their own experience and interpretation to those images. So in a sense, we are presenting a complete story, but there's enough room for each person to enrich that with their own story.